You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this last Sunday before Christmas. As you can hear, I've had a little experience with wellness this last week and look forward to seeing that come back to full manifestation soon. So I apologize for my voice. I will do my best to save it as so that it sustains this level for the entire day. But it is good to be together, to celebrate, to dive into the reverence of this season. And today, particularly as we celebrate the quality of peace as a part of the preparation and the birthing of the Christ, we particularly will be tapping into what it means to come apart from the world, the blessing of no room at the inn. As a part of our journey this morning, we have a tradition at Christmas, which is to light the Advent candles. So I'd like to invite someone to come forward who would be willing to light the Advent candles. Is there anyone who is willing? Hannah, that would be awesome. I just said your name, but will you share it one more time?
My name is Hannah.
And who is your mom?
Stedney Phillips.
And who is Stedney? What is her role here? Do you know? She's the executive director.
She's the executive director.
Yeah. And she's been here like less than a month, huh? Yeah. I'm so glad you're here today with us. It's so good to have you here. So I'll trade you the mic for the candle. We're going to come over and you're going to light with the Christ candle. Good, you are tall enough. Perfect. And we're going to come down to the Advent wreath, which is down here. And you have the distinct blessing of getting to light all of the candles except for the white one. So go ahead and light the first purple candle, which is the candle for hope. We lit that on the first Sunday of Advent. And then this next one is the candle for love. And then you're going to swing around to the pink candle, which is the candle for joy. And then today's candle is the candle for peace. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, you can blow that out. Thank you. Isn't it great? What a joy to have our children lighting for both services this Sunday. Oh, so there are characters associated with each of these qualities that really embody the message that this quality represents for all of us as we prepare for the arrival or the birth that is always happening within us of this Christed awake consciousness. And the symbol, the character who represents peace is the character of Joseph. So I'm going to read from Matthew in the second chapter, and I invite you to either close your eyes, actually in the first chapter, I invite you to either close your eyes or leave them open and allow the story to open your heart, to speak to you, much like we do in the beginning of meditation in Lectio Divina, and open and reveal what it might be speaking to you in your life right now. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So when all this was done, Joseph was aroused from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So if you have not done so, I invite you to close your eyes as we pray, as we invoke the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is always already present. And so we simply turn our attention to that presence, that power that speaks to us in visions and dreams through intuitions, that guides us in our own holy birth. The part of us that might want to stop or put away the miracle unfolding. In this moment, we choose to align with the higher self that follows the intuition, that follows the divine messages, that just like Joseph finds peace, even in the seeming chaos of the world around. And that actually brings peace, support to the birth of the miracle. So as we open to that this morning, we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for my empty hand. Those times in our life where everything feels like it's falling apart or disintegrating, to hold that consciousness of thankfulness, of blessings in the disillusionment, as well as in the manifestation and as well as in the abundance of things going our way. But to also hold that gratitude of heart in the nothingness, in the mystery, which is really ultimately what the blessing of no room can offer us. I've always been intrigued. You know, it's one of those kind of fun parts of the story of the birth, and when you know, you act it out, and especially children. We did a nativity scene or a nativity play here many, many years ago, actually, when I was a family ministry director, and one of my favorites was the innkeeper who opened the door and said, no room, and closed the door, you know, this kind of sense of you're not allowed, you're not welcome, which scholars actually say that we've taken a lot of liberties in that part of the story. Most likely they were going back to Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary, because of the census. And why do governments have census? Censuses? Taxing. That's right. Don't be afraid to say it. If for tax purposes, that's a long-standing governmental tradition. But they also were wanting to see, you know, who was eligible to serve in the military. There were a lot of more governmental reasons. So it was actually a sign of oppression that people were having to travel back to their ancestral towns and lands because they were under Roman rule. And they were needing to obey the governing body. So there's this continuing narrative, this continuing conversation and dialogue about about where power really lies in the Gospels and the scripture teachings of where, you know, is Rome really in the power? Is the Spirit really the power? So the you know, Joseph and Mary are returned to Bethlehem, and when, you know, we hear no room at the inn, and it comes from this one little line of Mary gave birth to Joseph. It's found in Luke in the second chapter. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and she put him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. That's the only real reference to that sense of no room. But when we look at the original Greek that Luke was written in, it's actually probably a misinterpretation. It comes from the Greek word kataluma, which means more of a guest room. So they were probably returning to family members' homes because this is the ancestral lands. There were relatives that would be in the area. And the saying of there was no room in the house was literally that there was no room. It was full up. Not that there wasn't a room available like at the Holiday Inn when it says no vacancy and you're like, no, you can't, that can't really be true. There's got to be an extra room stashed away. And they say, no room at the inn. So it was probably more of a family home. Now, for some of you in the holidays, that actually might feel like a blessing. You know, no room at the family house, we'll stay at the hotel. But for others of you, that might feel like you're being cast out. So, and for a lot of us, that's how we interpret, and especially when we look at it metaphysically, that's typically how it gets interpreted, that there was this casting out, this separation from the people at the inn, especially if we think about it as more of a traditional inn or a hotel where there are a lot of strangers around, which probably wasn't true, but we can still extrapolate that there was this sense of needing to separate, needing to come apart. And so I want to talk through some of the blessings of those times in our life that actually are help us cultivate this openness to the birth of the Christ that is always happening. We'll talk a little bit more about the birth probably at the 7 o'clock Christmas Eve service, about what that really means when we talk about the birth of the Christ in the manger of your heart. And like, gosh, every year we celebrate the same birth. How it's not. And the truth is that it's always happening. The birth is eternal. Every breath is the birth. We just get to celebrate it on during December and the Christmas season. But truly, there is an eternal opportunity to wake up. And as St. Augustine says, if the birth doesn't happen in me, what does it profit me? It must happen within. So at a spiritual level, that's really what we're cultivating and we're focusing on during this Christmas season in our church services is the spiritual component of this very rich season. And particularly today, focusing on this sense of what it means in the birth of the Christ or the miracle of the manifestation of awakening in your own life when in those moments where there's no room at the inn, where there feels like a closed door. So let's start with that one. I'm going to take you through a series of four blessings that we can take from this no room at the inn. And the first one is the blessing of the closed doors as much as the open ones. How often are we really on fire to bless those times when everything comes together, all the right doors open, it's synchronicity, it's, you know, everything is conspiring for your good, your affirmations are working, your meditation is working, the fruits of your practice are like on fire and you're seeing them manifest in all sorts of ways. Is that when we really feel like we want to bless? You know, we feel blessed. We feel like we want to share the blessings of abundance, of joy, of love, because it feels like everything is open to us. The world is our oyster. The possibilities are endless. God is in the possibilities in those moments. What I want to offer is equally, God is in the closed doors. We want to bless the closed doors as much as we want to bless the open doors. Those moments where we have been cast out or not included or something has not come together. Because that too is an answer to prayer. That too is equally a sign. That too is clear communication. And we want to bless that as much as we bless when everything seems to be going our way. Because when everything is going our way, or when things are happening that we like, we can get a sense of sovereignty, of autonomy, of some kind of egoic sense of, I am actually orchestrating this. They can get a little alluring. And when the closed doors are in front of us, we are reminded that we are co-creators with God. We are not God. And there is perhaps a bigger divine plan at play. So we bless the closed doors as symbols that that was not the path to walk down. Actually, in either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, since we'll be having a service on New Year's Day as well, I'm actually going to be leading us in a ceremony of blessing both the paths we walked down in 2016 and the paths we didn't walk down. We want to bless it all because all of it has conspired to get us to this moment, to this time, to this point of awareness. So we bless the closed doors as much as we bless the open doors. Because there's also a sense of, there's a psychological term of, there's an intrinsic motivation to belong. And sometimes what we're chasing to belong to, like I didn't rush for a sorority, but you know, sometimes you want to belong to something, or you belong to a team, or you belong to an organization or your job, and that will actually start to influence your decisions, including how you dress, how you speak, how you think, and your capacity for consciousness will be influenced by where you belong. So you want to be really careful about where you are placing your desire to belong. So sometimes those closed doors, the job offer that you didn't get, the relationship that didn't work out, can equally be a blessing that we want to acknowledge as also sacred. The inn that Jesus was not born in, or the home that Jesus was not born in. So let's talk about that. Metaphysically, when you look at the inn, there's especially if you look at it from not a family home, but as a place where a bunch of strangers were kind of rolling around in a cacophony of consciousness, of debauchery or whatever. There's a sense that the inn represents race consciousness. Now, for some of you, that might be a familiar term. For others of you, that might be a new term. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, talked about race consciousness as the laws of this physical world that we make up to make sense of it, including the idea of birth and death, disease, struggle and strife, all sorts of limiting beliefs. If you're looking at David Hawkins' scale or spectrum of consciousness, it's below 200. Things that are life depleting or not are in general not very conscious. That's what Charles Fillmore talked about when he was references race consciousness. And growing up in Unity, underlying and sometimes explicit teaching was our job as truth students is to affirm the truth and deny what is not true. And race consciousness as a whole, when you have a bunch of people together or the collective consciousness, there was this idea that it is fairly unconscious. Race conscious is not very conscious. And that's really what symbolically the inn is representing, is this sense of race consciousness, that that we're not really awake when we're together. Which you might sense into that, the truth of how often that happens for you. When you're in a group, are you more prone to go unconscious and agree with someone that you don't necessarily agree with just because that's what you do in a group? Not meanly, but so there's a sense of this race consciousness, this collective lower level of awareness that the inner represents. And the blessing of being the closed door, on the other side of the closed door, is that you take time apart. You don't always have to immerse yourself in the collective. Because things that happen in the collective, if you step out, it's like going into another country. You're able to see things that people inside that country don't see. You're able to kind of go, why do you do that? If you're judging it, you'll say, that's insane. And if you are more witnessing it, you'll want to know why, because there's probably a very valid reason their culture does it that way. The same thing with our own world and our own life. Things that we might think are normal might actually be insane, but we just can't see it that way. And the time apart, coming apart from the world, allows us to have those empty hands, that space, to see, to be infilled with the divine in a way that when we're in the inn, there really is no room. There's no room for anything else. There's no room for new ideas. There's no room for a new way of doing things, a new route that you might take, a new insight that might actually open your world into a whole new paradigm. There's no room. So we want to bless the time apart as a reminder that we do need to unplug. As I mentioned, I was rendered apart by this last week. I literally have been in bed for the last 5 days and without voice. I felt like Zacharias is the father of John the Baptist, and when he was in the temple and doing his rituals, he was approached by an angel who said, you and your wife Elizabeth will conceive a child, and Lazarus goes, it's not happening. She's too old. I'm too old. And the angel says, okay, well, since you're not participating in the miracle, you can just be silent the rest of the way. So the angel, I am paraphrasing and making it a little more common language, but that's the basic gist. So the angel renders him speechless for the entire pregnancy. He's not able to say anything because the idea is if you can't be a part of this, then you're going to sit by and be in the silence as the rest of us are. And I felt a little bit like that. I had plans this last week. I was going to do all sorts of fun things as well as work, including our board meeting on Thursday and our annual Christmas tradition where we get to celebrate together as a board and staff. And I was going to go to Disneyland. And I just, every day, I thought, okay, today's the day I'll have a voice and I will have energy. And it just wasn't happening. And it came to the point where I just needed to bless the time apart for what it was. When there is a closed door, we want to bless the closed door, and then we want to bless the space that we're in without judgment and be completely open to what is. bless the time apart. Jesus took time apart as a way to infill, to infuse, to be lifted up. But we don't stay apart. And here's the piece of my growing up that I've really had a lot of, I've done some work with. Because in unity, race consciousness, as a general rule, is not seen, it is seen as the thing that we want to get rid of or transcend out of. So we affirm the truth, we affirm the divine, and we deny the limiting beliefs of race consciousness or the physical world or the appearance of disease or the belief in something that is limiting, that is denigrating of our intrinsic value and worth. So all of those things, we affirm the positive. This is one of our unity ways that we pray. Affirm the positive, affirm the light, orient to the light, and deny the power of the darkness or the unconsciousness. Unfortunately, with that comes this subtle, if not sometimes explicit, pushing away of the world. It's better to be alone on the mountaintop than engaged in the world. And what I'm aware of at this point, as we talk about the blessings of no room at the inn, is that it is not about separating so much from the inn that we never go in, that we never participate in the world, that we focus so much on doing our own inner work that we don't also share the blessing in the collective. Because we are all affected by the collective. We are all in it together. There is a oneness component. We share physically, literally, the same air, the same water. It behooves us to care. We share the same consciousness. It behooves us to participate in the elevating of consciousness of the collective. We want to bless the inn, bless the race consciousness, and be the blessing in the race consciousness. The parts of us that forget, the parts of us where we think there is no room. We don't need to buy into it, but we also don't want to separate so much from it that we get disconnected. Because if we disconnect from race consciousness, if we disconnect from our experience of the collective at maybe some of the lower levels, then it starts to run amok. There's no light. It's like the shadow coming in our own personal life, but this is a collective shadow. We need the blessing of enlightened ones. This is the Bodhisattva vow. We'll be working with that in the beginning of the year. That says, I will come back into the world. Not because I'm enlightened and I'm here to make you a blessing, but because we are in it together. We share the journey together. We awaken together. We shine the light together. So we want to bless the time apart, but we also want to bless when we are engaged in the world, when we do enter the inn, by showing up in our fullness. And then finally, and this is where we're going to return to David Hawkins, we want to bless eventually the disillusion of any sense actually of a relationship and of separateness. So Dr. David Hawkins calibrated these different frequencies, these different energies, and things like anger and pride and fear and revenge all fall below a certain threshold where they are life depleting. They take away energy. Above a certain threshold that he talks about is actually courage. We start to give back to the world. We are life affirming. All of the different qualities that we've been lighting in the Advent candle, the Advent wreath of hope, of love, of joy, all fall into the lifting up, the life affirming. And the highest one of those is actually peace, which is interesting. Peace, transcendence, and illumination. Because some would say that joy would be higher, but it's actually peace. And peace, as he describes it, is this sense of when the witness and what is being witnessed merge into one. There is no more sense of an autonomous me organizing my life and deciding what I'm going to create and what I'm not and what's a blessing and what's not, but that actually starts to expand the sense of I to include all. And in meditation or in certain moments, my guess is that most of us have tapped into that. It's not abiding, most likely, but it does. But we can slip into that consciousness where there actually is no origination point. It is simply all one. And from that, there's actually this deep, deep sense of peace, the peace that passes all understanding. There is no more relationship. It doesn't matter whether the door is open or closed, what's on our resume, what clothes we're wearing, who's in, who's out. There's this deep connection with the all that is, and a recognition, just as Ernest Holmes said, that it is all God, all substance, form and formless. And this is that final piece of the Advent wreath, the quality, when it comes online, that really allows for that awakening in a whole new way, that living of the Christ that you are as an embodiment, not as a sense of separation, but as a sense of deep connection, the blessing of the disillusion. We stop fighting when something is dissolving and we simply allow it to do its work, resting once again into that first quality of holy hope, that knowledge that everything is under the direction and the guidance of God. There is a divine order. There is a divine timing. There is a divine plan. Sometimes we get glimpses. Sometimes we don't. But the peace rests in knowing it is all God. So as you go forward this Christmas week, I invite you to practice that. Practice one of the blessings. Practice them all. Blessing the closed doors as well as the open doors. We don't want to forget the open doors. We want to bless the closed doors too. We want to bless the time apart. If everyone's going out for cocoa and you don't want to, bless the time apart. Bless the in as you're out in the world doing your last-minute Christmas shopping, as you're out on in the airports or the freeways and you're judging that everyone else is crazy. Just as Reverend Eileen said last week, don't sell your joy out for $3. Don't sell your peace out. or some momentary, transient thing. It comes from within. And finally, bless those beautiful experiences when it all merges into one. And you really are living the Christmas message. Go forth and live it.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithe.